we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you right here out of Cocoa, Florida on WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM, and we thank you for being a part of our day. We also want to say thank you to Jets Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any help with block or concrete work, give them a call, and they can get the job done, get it done well, get it done in a timely manner, and get it done professionally. They can be a blessing to you, and I encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity should you be needing that. A lot of people are upgrading their homes as the economy has turned around and taking care of some long-delayed projects. So give them a call, 536-5804, if they can be a blessing to you. We are going to get into the Word today. We're going to be back in Isaiah 59 and looking forward to all that God has for us here. We want to remind you about our Wednesday night services. We have Wednesday night Bible study for the adults that begins at 7 o'clock. We have Wednesday night kids ministry for kids of all ages. We start serving food for the families at 6, and then the classes start at 6:30 and they run until 7:45. That way they're able to get out and home and in bed in time to get rested and have another glorious day at school. With that being said, I believe today is also the day that we are celebrating Martin Luther King Day here in America. The banks are closed. I believe that means no mail running as well today. And so if that's the case, I may have just been able to save you some wasted errand time there. And if you're off today and enjoying the day off, I pray that you would have a blessed and glorious day. Getting right into the Word today, Isaiah the 59th chapter. Last week we talked about how God, when he sees society becoming everything he intended it not to become, that man have made bad choices, that they have rejected his standards, his method of operations, and have chosen to go their own way, rejected the straight path and chosen the perverse path, when they have rejected morality as he has defined it and distorted it to their own advantage, when they have chosen error over accuracy and deviated from the straight and narrow path and chosen the path of destruction, when they have chosen lawlessness instead of obedience, and they're experiencing guilt and punishment instead of blessing and favor, that God, when he looks at that and he sees the final straw that we looked at there with Isaiah 59, was when people who are now choosing to reject the ungodly and embrace the godly, and they become vilified by society and attacked by society, that God starts looking around for an intercessor. He starts looking around for people to pray, and if he doesn't find any, he says, I'm going to solve this problem all by myself then. And we had talked about that his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness had sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. In other words, God is very militant, if you will, about addressing societal deterioration. He wants to restore it back to what he created. The millennial reign of Christ, the earth will be restored to everything that God created it to be in the Garden of Eden. And so today I want to ask you this question, and that is, why does God do this? I mean, why doesn't God just wipe everybody off of the face of the earth? And, you know, he could start again. He threatened to do that with Moses when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they chose poorly, they chose unwisely, and they rejected God. And he said, hey, Moses, I will start all over with you. Isn't it amazing that Moses at that point in time was 80 years old, and God's telling him, you know what? I can raise up out of you everything that I need. And with that being said, I just want to encourage you today. God's resources are not limited. He is able to provide whatever. And so if you look around and there are no natural resources available to meet your needs, I encourage you to trust God, because he is able to meet your needs. So with that being said, why does God do the things that he does? Why doesn't he just, you know, wipe humanity off of the face of the earth when the nations have gathered against him, when they are attacking his chosen people, Israel? Why doesn't he just say, you know what, I have had enough? I don't know if you've ever had enough. I've had enough. You know, there's a comedian, Tim Hawkins, and he kind of makes fun of some of the things that we say, and I know I heard it as a child, but he said that his mother had a saying, and my mother used the same saying, and she said, I have had just about enough of this. And, you know, that's supposed to be a warning, but to a child, sometimes you hear that and you say, ooh, then I've got just a little bit more margin. Why doesn't God just say, I've had enough? And I'm going to tell you that from the scriptures this morning, why he does what he does. Verse number 18 says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. And right there, God begins to identify for you and for me exactly why he does what he does. It's not that he's winking at sin. It's not that he's overlooking sin. No. None of that is the case. He is actually addressing the situation because of his motives. If I told you John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you would look at that and you would say, God does that because he loves us. And I want you to know that God does love you. You know, you extend a lot of compassion, a lot of mercy to those that you love. But in biblical terms, God also disciplines those that he loves. It's not a free-for-all out there. It's not anarchy. Well, I wanted to do this. Well, you know, little Johnny, that's okay if you wanted to puncture, you know, the car tires because it made you feel good. I love you, and you're not going to get into trouble for that. That's not love. That is actually enabling and training that child not to operate in restraint. And sooner or later, because you are derelict in your duty as a parent, somebody's going to have to step in to your role and address that situation. And God does that with humanity. He does that with people. He says, this is what I expect. And don't expect my favor just because I love you. Don't expect my favor whenever you have rejected me. You know, I told my kids when they were growing up, if you reject the rules of the house, then you also reject the provision of the house. If you reject the rules, you reject the provision. They're linked. They're not independent of one another. And many times. Now, mind you, before I was a pastor, I was a youth pastor. And so I've watched a lot of changes that have come through young people. And one of the things that I have noticed for the last 10 or 15 years is that that 18th birthday seems to be a rite of passage. Some extend it to their kids a little bit before that, if they're good and they show some responsibility. But that at that 18th birthday, there's a lot of people or a lot of kids that are of the misconception that just because they are of such a chronological age that they no longer have to respect their parents, and that they just get to live in the basement. And that's really hard in Florida because not many houses have basements. That was supposed to be a joke. And so they just don't honor their parents. I want you to know that God says in his word that if you will honor your father and mother, that you will live long in the land, you will enjoy the land, the life that you have, and you will have a blessed life. There is no age expiration on that process. I don't care if you're 18, if you're 35, if you're 40, if you're 60, you are still. Now, that doesn't mean that you necessarily are going to do everything that they want you to do, believe everything that they want you to believe, or process it exactly the way that they did. I'm praying that my kids are better parents than what my wife and I were. We're hoping that they've learned something along the way that will better equip them to do a better job than we did. I pray for them in the ministry that they will be better equipped and accomplish more in the ministry than what my wife and I have. And we're very thankful for everything that God has helped us to accomplish. So why does God do what he does? It tells us right here in verse number 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun." If you were to look in the rest of the major prophets, if you look in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, you will find that God acts in such a manner, and it says this phrase repeatedly, "When I do this, then they will know that I am God." God is a God who wants to be known. He's not just wanting to be known about. He wants you to know him. And I want to know him. And the thing about knowing God is it is going to be a constantly advancing agenda. It's going to be something that is progressing on a continual basis because God is an infinite, immortal God, a supernatural God, that it is going to take us all of eternity to grasp the depths of and the magnitude of his marvelous, flawless nature. Every day, his mercies are brand new. We get to see a different facet of the expression of God. God wants to be known, even by people who've rejected his laws, rejected him, rejected his counsel, rejected his ways. God says, I'm going to continue to deal with them. I'm going to deal with them in a long-suffering manner. I'm going to deal with them by God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to convict them so that they will turn to me, so that they will know me. Okay? So there are people that I know their face. I know their name. I was on a teleconference the other day, and they asked if I knew this particular person, and I said, you know, I probably know their face, but I don't know them. And there are a lot of people who know some things about God, but they don't necessarily know God. And I want to challenge you today to get to know him better. I don't care if you are just coming to faith or if you've been a believer for decades and decades and decades. Don't get to the place where it is a static relationship. I urge you, I compel you, take whatever steps are necessary to know the heart of God better. There are a lot of people who all they are looking for is their fire insurance. They just want to know enough of God so that they don't spend an eternity in hell. I want you to understand that the more we know of God, the more we know him personally, the more personal interaction we have with him, the higher the quality of life and the greater joy we are going to have in our life and the greater benefit we are going to be to those around us. I refer to Christians who are growing in their faith as the cream of the crop, the cream of the crop. There is a passage let me see if I can find it. We are supposed to, I'm not seeing it right off the top of my head, but we are supposed to be, if we don't want to stumble, we are supposed to be constantly increasing in our knowledge of God. And I know the verse, here it is. Therefore, brethren, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. It talks about that we are supposed to constantly be increasing in these things. It's a similar verse in a different place. But we need to be growing in our faith. And the more that we grow him, the more that we know in him and the more that we grow in our relationship with him, we are going to revere him more. One of the phrases that I learned a long time ago is that which you disrespect moves away from you. That which you disrespect moves away from you. It was a quote from Mike Murdoch. I don't necessarily buy into everything that he shares, but that little nugget of wisdom is something that you can take to the bank. If you disrespect your spouse, sooner or later they're going to move away from you. If they don't move away from you physically, they will move away from you emotionally and intellectually and relationally. It is going to happen. There are a lot of people who don't appreciate their jobs and their bosses, and they disrespect them. They don't treat them the way that they should be treated. And pretty soon, they're not going to have to worry about it because that boss will move away from them, and the source of income that they had will as well. The reciprocal can be true. If you're an employer and you don't treat your employees well, they will move away from you. You can see in society right now, people have no loyalty anymore to a particular brand. They just want what they want. And if you don't give them what they want, they will find somebody else who will provide it for them. So you and I, we need to make sure that we walk in reverence with God, especially those of us who are believers. We need to be in awe of God. I remember hearing a story when I was growing up of two pastors, and they switched, they took turns in each other's pulpits. The one day they weren't of the same denomination, and so they went, and the one pastor preached in the other pastor's church, and then they returned the favor, and as a result of that, the host pastor in this one meeting, he after the service, he said, "Pastor," he said, "that was an amazing, amazing message." He said, "Have you ever preached that message before?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, how many times have you preached it?" And he said, "I think I've probably preached that message probably 70 times. And he said, "Well, how do you keep it so fresh? You were preaching it today like it was the very first time that you had ever preached it." And his response was, "I never lost the wonder. I never lost the amazement of the truth that God had shared with me in that passage." And you and I, we need to fully appreciate the reverential aspect of God. If we, as the children of God, don't revere him, the world most certainly won't. The angels will, but society won't. It needs to start with us. It needs to start with the pastors. It needs to start with church leadership. And so during this time, and I hope that you're joining us on our fasting and prayer journey. We're about 8 days into it now, and almost halfway. So hang in there and continue to seek the face of God and be amazed at the reality that the King of Glory wants to spend time with you. I know a lot of people in this community. There's very few of them that if I was the King of Glory that I would say, you know what, my highest priority today is to meet with Bob Arthurs. But that is God's priority. He wants to meet with me and he wants to meet with you. How awesome is that? And so the name of the Lord, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. The truth of the matter is this: God wants to be revered and he wants to reveal his glory from the sunrise to the sunset, not just on the covenant people of God, but on people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So we are not large numerically at Merit Assembly of God, but we are an international body of believers. We get really excited whenever there is a different representation of a geographic location around the globe, and God brings them to Merit Assembly of God. We get really excited about that because we look a little bit more like heaven as a result of that than we did before. See, I'm not looking for a bunch of blonde-haired or executive blonde-haired. That would be the tone or the color of the blonde that I use now, executive blonde. I'm not looking for a bunch of executive blonde-haired, blue-eyed people that look, think, and act just like me. I need people who are gifted in areas that I'm not gifted in and have an appreciation for the grace of God that in their experience that helps me to understand God better. So God does everything he does. The reason that he is so intentionally combative about a society that is rejecting him is not because he is jealous of what he's missing out on. He's jealous for what we are depriving ourselves of. And that is his blessings, his favor, his forgiveness, and most of all, his presence. You are a better person with the presence of God. You are a more delightful person with the principles of God in operation in your life. I just want to share that with you. The cool person in town is not the person that is a crazy drunk who does all sorts of bizarre things. That's not the cool person in town. The cool person in town is not the famous person who will do whatever is necessary to get just a little bit more money so that they can maintain their source of fame. No, the cool person in town is the person who knows God, who fears him, who reveres him, who lives according to his principle, and every day they ask to be used by God to make someone else's life a little bit better. I read a news story last week about somebody who was in the Fort Lauderdale airport when the shooting incident took place. And a lot of times in situations like this, you will hear of people who, that God got them out of the situation and they got them safe to their destination. But this was a person that the exact opposite happened. They had packed their bag too heavy, and instead of just paying the fee and making their flight, and they would have been gone before that incident ever took place, they were trying to handle it. In the meantime, they missed their flight, and they had to pay a fee for a later flight. And so then they're stuck just waiting for their flight, and that was when all of the chaos happened. And then there was the second closure of the airport. and all of the restaurants had shut down. And this person was texting with a friend of theirs, and they said, look, God has positioned you there to be a blessing. He has positioned you to for such a time as this. This is a divine appointment. And what happened was, after the chaos had all subsided and there was no food coming in, this person went and bought and made an arrangement with one of the vendors there, and they went around and they provided food for the passengers who were stranded there without anything to eat. You know, a lot of people could have done that, but this person had a creative idea. Hey, I can minister for the glory of God. They thought she was an employee, but she wasn't an employee. She was just a passenger in the same situation they were. But she said, instead of cowering in fear and instead of just sitting here complaining about the situation, I'm going to look for this opportunity to be a blessing for my Savior and bring glory to the King. Today, Monday, look for an opportunity to be a blessing to those people in your life. Their life's probably not perfect. Your life's probably not perfect. But God will give you wisdom and insight on how you can be a blessing so that people will know, hey, God loves me. He's working through this person because he wants me to know him in a extremely personal relationship. And you and I, we should bring glory. We should bring glory to God. Today, I have a lot of levels of relationship with people. Some of them I know from Facebook. Some of them I know by face. Some of them I know because of places that we frequent together. So, there are a lot of people that I know, but I don't know anything at all about them. Today, I want to ask you to join me on an intentional journey, not just to know about God, but to know him better, that he would have free access to every area of your life and every area of my life, so that we can say, hey, what would God do in a situation like this? And we'd say, I know exactly what he would do. He would minister to hurting people, and he would bring glory to his name. He wants people to stand in awe that this omnipotent, glorious King that we serve loves us, and he wants to spend eternity with you. How would you feel if the most famous person you knew wanted to spend the rest of their life with you? In reality, that's God's plan for you and for me. He wants us to spend time with him. It's going to be a glorious day. Go out there and make it a great one. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like a